Welcome in, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer, wearing a hat indoors, a beanie indoors.
Like, yeah, that's
indoors.
Right.
And I'm Jeremy Lance. Are you cold?
I love beanies.
This is your house. You can turn the thermostat up
if
you want to.
I can control literally with my voice from right
here.
That's
right. It's all Google, right? Yeah. You have a Google house.
Okay, Google, turn the thermostat to 72 degrees.
Didn't do it.
Send the nest to 72 degrees.
Oh, there it is.
Here we go. We turn it up a little bit. Maybe I can take the hat off.
There you go.
If it's bothering you that
much. It's not bothering me. I didn't know if you were like suddenly like getting the chills over there. I was worried.
No, I'm not sick or anything like that.
This is the official How Was Your Winter Break podcast, where we will ask that of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that somewhat of our audience. And then we'll also ask that of the teams that we cover.
Yeah, for some better than others.
Hey, United, how was your winter break?
Not very good.
Not good.
Yeah.
No, it was bad.
Well, my family came in. It was disastrous. But yeah, it was a differing break for everyone.
Uh-huh.
Lots of football to talk about. Too much football to probably talk about, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start with the obligatory, like, did you do anything fun over break? We took a week off.
We
took a week off.
We opted not to do a Christmas night show.
It probably would have gone poorly. I had my entire family here in the exact room that we're sitting in.
Yeah.
So we would have had to make room for that. That would have been weird.
And it would have cut into my tradition of eating Chinese food for reasons.
Yeah. They're interesting reasons, for sure.
You know, some people have their favorite types of food. Mine... Finer types of food with flavor.
Yeah.
So
that's why you get Chinese food.
That's why you have to go get it by yourself
on
Christmas night after you ate dinner with your wife's family.
I don't think they'll listen.
They're probably not.
But you just never know.
Not a lot of soccer fans.
Yeah, that's true. They're not.
As I famously tweeted once, actually when we were trying to do a Christmas, we did a Christmas early one year.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the day of... the Crew Timbers MLS final.
Yes,
MLS
Cup. That's right.
One that we were both credentialed for, and unlike you, my credential went to waste.
Yes, that's right. I recall this.
And I famously tweeted accurately, asking to turn that game on was akin to me going, hey, you mind if I turn this pornography on over here?
Yeah. Normally not a fixture of your wife's family Christmas.
No,
pornography
not as much.
Or Major League Soccer Cup finals, yeah.
Pretty much in the same bin there.
Unfortunate.
So it was pretty uneventful. We stayed in town.
Mm-hmm.
I ate some Chinese food. I got stuff. My kids got too much stuff.
Yeah.
We made them. Do you make your kids purge?
No,
hey, we got to throw some crap out.
Literally, before you came over tonight, I was saying to my wife, hey, the toy room, it's getting a little full. Maybe we ought to thin it out.
So my wife sat with our son all day today. It's New Year's Day. We're recording. And kind of went through his room. He needed to clean his room anyways. Mm-hmm. He had been putting that off for 6 months.
Sure.
And finally my wife went in there, made him clean it, and also made him do a pile of things that will no longer be a part of our lives.
Yeah. It's a joy to get rid of those things.
Oh, man, I love it. Like I actually like feel a release when I throw stuff away like that.
I just look at that pile of stuff and go, man, capitalism sucks.
Like, wow, spent a lot of money.
Spent a lot of money to compile all this crap.
And now I can't wait to get rid of this.
That I desperately want out of my house. We collected more crap as well over the holidays. My girls got a plethora of Frozen-related material that I'm sure will not be dated in several years' time.
That movie's been out for 5 years, so I think it's already dated.
Okay, good. Well, it is not past due for them at this point. But no, it was a good break. I got to get out and do some Boxing Day football watching. Not a normal thing for me. So
I was going to go. And then I thought, no one will be at Ryan House that I want to hang out with.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It was pretty spur of the moment to defend myself a little bit. My parents offered to watch all of our children. So
that's nice.
Yeah, they were like, go, get out. So my brother-in-law is a big Liverpool fan. Uh-huh. Went out and watched the Liverpool game on Boxing Day and enjoyed some of the ends of the 10 a.m. fixtures. Had some pints. Not going to complain. So, but otherwise, just watched a lot of football. You know how it is.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do know how it is. Let's talk about one aspect of football, and that is the fantasy.
Yeah.
How terrible are we?
No, literally both of us saw improvement this week.
Harry Kane.
And several Harry weeks. Kane. Harry Kane, I think, buoyed 99% of everyone that was playing.
I was gonna say, anybody that went up
must have
had him and probably captained him.
One of us fared fairly better than the other. You improved one place.
Oh.
To 122nd in our now 143 entrant league.
I guess more people have joined. Probably will that was still impossible. Beat me.
Yeah. I improved 37 places to 59th. I'm
almost on the
inching
first page.
Towards the first page. That's all I'm aiming for at this point.
I have goals.
We also saw an upset at the top of the table. Jay Slack dethroned.
What?
No longer is Lawyers, Guns, and Mane at the top after six shows, in charge. It's probably something like 9 or 10 weeks. And even fell all the way to the third, but he is unseated by Fantasy Stalwarts back in the Big League FC. So
back in the Big League FC.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Newcastle fan?
I don't know. It could be. It would be yo-yo back and forth between the big league, maybe, if it was a Newcastle fan. So that was your fantasy update. Hey, positivity there, even if it shines brighter for some of us.
Speaking of positivity, let's not talk about that if you're a United fan. Hey, Man United, how was your Christmas break? Answer, not so great. Mm. So
it's bad enough that you're from Manchester, like, on its own.
Yeah.
Just being from there.
It's a rough go, mm-hmm. I guess.
The North.
The North.
I feel like I'm just spitting out, like, narrative that I
you're
read
just
online.
Saying things.
Yeah, I'm just saying stuff
things.
Right now.
You just
things that are hurled back and forth in the pub on Boxing Day by people who...
Did you watch Green Street Hooligans the other day? Is that what
No, I didn't, but legitimately, that was one of the things I noticed was some English chanting. English...
At the pub?
Yeah, there was some...
Like Ryan House.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's almost exclusively Americans in there. The occasional
To be
Brit.
Fair, I was joined by two British men to enjoy the match that I'm personal acquaintances with. Neither of them were the ones who were singing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of stuff. But
let's start with Tom the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They drew with Leicester. How did they draw with Leicester?
Last minute variety.
By giving up a goal to Harry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
Mm-hmm.
At literally the last kick of the match.
Incredible stuff. Hey, before, I know we're starting with Leicester on the 23rd. Let's go back to the 20th, which is, I don't know if that had happened the last time we recorded.
Right.
Was
what,
it? What maybe
would that
had.
Been like, that was like EFL Cup?
Yeah, it was. League Cup.
Oh, that's right.
Caribou
that
Cup.
That didn't go well for
no,
them
No, they
either.
Also lost that match to Bristol City in the League Cup quarterfinals.
Also so, at the death.
Yeah, also at the death. Let's now go, the 23rd, we talked about a 2-2 last minute draw with Leicester City. After weren't they up 2-0 in that match?
Probably.
They might have been.
Probably.
Someone will correct us on that one. Then on the 26th, just 3 days later, they're forced into a 2-2 draw with Burnley.
Which they had to score at the death.
At the death, yeah. So a little Fergie magic there at the end.
They were down 2-0 revived. In this one.
Yeah, they were down 2-0 in that one. So a big recovery there. Then on December 30th, a 0-0 draw with damn near relegated Southampton.
Yeah.
Not exactly damn near relegated, but you get the drift. Bottom dweller, Southampton, 0-0 draw there. And their break was saved by today's New Year's Day 2-0 win away at Everton. If you're keeping track at home, that's just 1-5 over the holiday fixture period.
Yeah.
Not a good span.
Oh, and can we add, well, this would actually be injury to insult.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, Lukaku got hurt in that Southampton 0-0 draw.
There may be corners of the United fan base that are okay with that.
Zlatan's still not healthy, though.
And he's
so
like
both
95.
Both of those guys out for some time.
Zlatan's older than me.
Right.
If that's what you're banking everything on, let's just say that's a bad move.
So is Gareth Barry. We learned that last week.
Well, let's we don't need to, you know, get into who is or
but
is
just
older.
Barely.
Yeah, just barely, just by days, in fact. What I found most tiring about United's downturn in fortunes over the course of the holiday fixture period was Jose Mourinho, normally someone who I enjoy. I love Jose's antics. I poke people in the
eye. You don't gotta look at me. You don't gotta look at me.
I know you're a
just
fan.
Preach to the choir.
Yeah, I know you're a fan. But it really got to be a bit much this week when Jose was just hamming on about how he just doesn't have the spending power and the ability to buy the players that he needs to build a squad that can be competitive in this league.
Right.
And it's maddening. He offered this quote up. This is ridiculous. When comparing what they have and what they don't have, he made a reference to how Manchester City buy fullbacks for the price of strikers, and that the three...
That was literally... He basically was just saying... By Kyle Walker.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about there specifically. But this is a guy who spent £300 million over the course of the two seasons that he's been here so far. And he's saying that big clubs like United are handicapped by their size and that they have to pay more for talent.
He's doing what Liverpool fans have been doing the past couple of years. Yeah, just pretty like, much. Oh, we're just poor. We're just poor Liverpool. We can't afford
poor old us. Oh, meanwhile, Liverpool, by the way, signing a world record fee for a defender and Virgil van Dijk, who's 26.
Spending more on one guy that Chelsea spent on their entire back line.
$76 million. But it's just incredibly rich for a guy who's spent roughly $150 million on fullbacks since he's arrived at United.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just kind of tough to feel bad for anyone who's at the helm of Manchester United.
But to be fair, United, their defense is the best in the league. So those fullbacks are totally paying off, right?
Sure. Sure. We can go ahead and say
that. He also went after Paul Scholes today. Did you see that?
I mean, Paul Scholes is a dick. Like, right, no, just sure, being straight up. But
he's also like the manager of like Man United, and he's going after essentially a club legend.
Yeah. Yeah. One that carries a lot of weight within the fan base.
He's part of the class of 92.
Look, this is Mourinho's made a living out of rubbing people who are club legends the wrong way. So I don't think that's necessarily anything he's afraid to do, no matter where he is.
So they're in second place at the moment.
Yeah.
Basically because Chelsea hasn't played yet.
Mm-hmm.
They just went to second place today. They were in third.
Temporarily in third. Mm-hmm.
Past couple days. We do want to talk about one bright spot for United.
Oh, is this Ashley Young's 3-game suspension for the elbow?
Well, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. Okay. That would be our silver lining.
Okay.
For Manchester United fans, silver lining, Jesse Lingard is having a great season and scored 3 goals during this stretch.
Mm-hmm.
All
well taken, the back heel one. Ooh.
I mean, this young kid's having a great season where other bigger name attacking players are not exactly pulling their weight.
That's why I think you're seeing some of these people in United corners who are cheering on, as terrible as that is for Lukaku's injury.
Yeah.
You've got this kid who's kind of shining through. And if there's one thing that English people love and that it's just chewed upon more than anything else in the Premier League, it's homegrown talent. And Lingard is that for United. You see what's happening with Harry Kane right now, and any time one of these types of players pops up, it is something that everyone latches onto, and you can't feel bad for United fans at all in the fact that they've got something like that available to them to root for.
Yeah, so 7 goals on the season, 3 on the stretch right here, guys, and they're not garbage goals. He's been impactful goals for them.
Well,
obviously, we talked about the Burnley match. He scored both in that one to claw back that point. The guy's kind of, in some aspects, sort of, on an offensive point, kind of carrying this team.
Yeah.
Like, kind of the guy that, like, if he was not having the year he's having right now, it'd be a bad scene.
It's not £60 million Lukaku. It's not £80 million Frenchman.
Yeah.
It's the homegrown kid.
Yeah.
It's carrying him. Paul Pogba. Eat your heart out.
Right, but that's how United's supposed to do it, right?
Yeah, that is true. It is kind of wild.
2013?
Yeah, I suppose. But it is kind of crazy. United were a club that hung their hat for a long time on their academy, and it has become a really sore spot for a team that built themselves several times. Some of their best teams ever were built out of home.
And we had
players.
Talked about it before, like at the end of the Alex Ferguson era, like that pantry had kind of dried up a bit. They ended up bringing in, you know, during LVG and the Moyes years, like they bring in these guys, the Paddy McNairs and these younger guys, and those guys, and none of those guys panned out.
Well, you know, some of them, you talk about a guy like Lingard, you know, he was one of the people that OVG brought through.
And so far he's the one guy that's really looked like he's actually panning out to be a real good talent.
Well, that's a bit the manager you have at the helm, not exactly someone who's known for leaning on the youth.
Jose's all about the youth.
Yeah.
He's all about taking that youth, molding it,
and then
putting it on loan for literally years.
Other clubs that he's been at and what's happened with their youth academies, maybe Madrid's famous Cantera. Oh, yeah, none of those players really broke through either. Wait, what about Chelsea, a team that has so many people in reserves that you could literally make another team out of them?
Uh-huh. To be fair, we didn't let him ruin the youth the second time around.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek, is that about the only?
Yeah, he's still technically on
payroll. On the books, yeah.
To be fair, Chelsea's youth squad pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Has won a lot of trophies the past couple of years. Luckily, Mourinho did not sell them all off last time he was in charge.
Yeah,
and push them all out and tell them like, oh, we need to get these guys out here. Yeah, luckily none of that happened.
Well.
But, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, it is a bright spot for them, though. Go Jesse Lingard.
You got that going for you.
There's something for you to hang your hat on.
All right, let's talk about the other, we'll go top six, and just barely making it into said top six is a team called Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham.
You guys are in sixth place somehow. Yeah. I mean, you guys didn't have a bad Christmas either.
No.
And yet here you are in sixth place.
Spurs, if we're talking about these top six sides, Spurs actually had one of the two least congested schedules in there. They actually only had two matches, one back on 12/23. They, of course, were not in the League Cup quarterfinals. But 12/23 was a 3-0 win away at Burnley. Started slow, but Spurs came out of their shells. And then 12/26, a 5-2 win at Wembley against Southampton. Harry Kane offering up his 8th hat trick of the year. By the way, that was his 7th hat trick in the Burnley match.
And then you guys play tomorrow?
We play Tuesday? Tomorrow, Tuesday, and then we play again on Thursday. Ridiculous.
There's your congestion.
I'll stand on a pedestal here about that here in a moment. But Harry Kane in that Southampton game, that 8th hat trick of the year of 2017, that moved him to 37 league goals on the season. That shattered a 22-year-old record held by Alan Shearer for the most league goals in England in a calendar year. A lot of contention about whether or not this should even be a thing, given that the calendar year and the season don't correspond with one another.
They're different things.
It's like
Arsenal and all their streaks.
I don't understand why people even care if it's something that's measured or not. Like, what? It doesn't hurt anything. Why does it matter? Anyway, big deal for him. He got congratulations from Shearer. That also moved him to, I believe it was 56 goals on the year, and that makes him the top scorer in Europe. First time since 2009 that someone not named Leo Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo has held that record. Would you like to take a guess at who in 2009 was the top scorer in Europe?
In 2009?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't any of the three people
you just mentioned. It was not Harry Kane because he was like playing alone in the championship. Not Lionel Messi and not Cristiano Ronaldo.
Latin? I don't know.
No, it wasn't. Good guess. He finished second the year after that. It was actually Dzeko.
Yeah, that was
playing at Napoli.
We could have been here all day, and that was not going to come up.
Well, that's why it was ridiculous in its own right. But congrats to Harry Kane. Really excited for obviously my club's shining star. But Spurs needed it. It's been a tough stretch for them. Two wins in here come on the back of a relatively rough patch for them.
Now, I don't want to be that guy, but Alan Shearer also, you know, eventually, during his awesome spell of being an amazing player, drug Blackburn Rovers across the finish line in first. Is Harry Kane going to be able to pull that off at some point?
He does seem like a guy who doesn't want to leave Spurs. Like, legitimately, I get the feeling that...
So he's there to win it.
I do think he's there for Tottenham. Look, what I don't trust is whether Daniel Levy would sell him. Like that's he seems like a
everyone has a price.
Considering he costs us nothing outside of development costs, yeah, that's look, you could fetch easily 100+ million pounds for Harry Kane right now, right? Like, I don't think you would bat an eye at that, considering Neymar's what 220.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kane's at least half a Neymar, right? So you're looking at 110 million pounds for that, for a guy who costs you nothing from a legit acquisition standpoint. That's a tidy little profit. But no, I think maybe someday he could, but Spurs have a mountain to climb before we get to that point.
Arsenal on... Did you have...
Yeah, that's all I had. That's all I had.
Arsenal started the holiday season off with a 3-3 draw with Liverpool.
They also had a 1-0 win in the League Cup. Sorry, I'm just going to keep hammering these in here.
It's
part of the congestion.
They'll get Chelsea now in the two-leg semifinal.
That's right.
So I think that means that Chelsea and Arsenal, so they're going to play on Thursday or Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll play, because of that, two more times in the month of January.
Awesome. Bring it on.
Three meetings just in January alone.
Yeah. But back to Arsenal and Liverpool, that 12-22 match, a 3-3 draw.
Mm-hmm.
Badass game, like a fun one. Really fun one to watch. Probably the highlight fixture, in my opinion, of the holiday set. I don't think there was a better game than that one.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Bit back and forth. Mo Salah, the one that got away for you.
Good. Yeah.
One of the ones that got away for you.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but yes. the two most informed players of 2017, 2018 so far is Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, just feels good.
They were on the roster of Chelsea at the same time.
That one hurts. 12-28 was the next time Arsenal played. A 3-2 win at Crystal Palace, a really back-and-forth fixture that
almost
one was
as well. Almost gave this one up. Really took their foot off the pedal, took Lacazette off, and kind of got super complacent there in the last 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Palace had a lot of chances, converted one of them to get back it to make it 3-2. Had a couple options. I had a couple chances at least to possibly equalize.
Yep.
Didn't. So a little nervy one there for Arsenal. They get the 3 points there. And then a very dubious draw with West Brom.
Controversy in this one.
Yeah.
Refereeing decisions falling central to this match
as
well. Mike Dean and Arsenal fans have
never
an affair. That's just one would hope it endures forever. Mike Dean awarding a penalty late on to West Brom.
So let's talk about this penalty.
Yeah.
So it was a handball.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the West Brom player kicking that ball that hit the Arsenal player.
Mm-hmm.
It's Karen Gibbs.
Former Arsenal man.
So it was what it was a Callum Chambers? Is that who it was that?
I think I probably forgot
who it was. One of just the miscellaneous Arsenal players I just don't care about.
It was one of those rough ones. As a defender, you feel a little bit for them simply because your hand's not really in a spot where it's making your body bigger. It's not in an unnatural position. He was defending.
But the
replays that they showed tell you exactly why the penalty was
given. The replay that shows roughly the angle that Mike Dean had,
mm-hmm. kind of over Dean's shoulder,
shows that arm
moving towards the ball.
So not on purpose. And I still don't think it's enough to cause to actually make it a good call.
Do I think it's actually a penalty?
No.
Probably not.
But you see why
he thought it was. It does. I can absolutely understand from Dean's point of view
that arm,
it looked like his arm moved towards the ball.
Yep.
And I'm not faulting Arsenal fans or their players or their coaches for being angry about that.
Petrček got a yellow card after the match.
Petrček claimed that he went up to talk about a meeting that happened between player leadership and referees
and Mike Dean
prior to the season,
and then
Mike
and
Dean dismissed
card.
Him and gave me a yellow card. Look, Petr, I have a lot of respect for you. This was it was supposed to be your 200th clean sheet.
And yet it wasn't.
And I know you were angry about not getting your award.
Clean sheets have been a little harder to come the last couple of seasons for him. I can't imagine why.
It's moving to Arsenal that will do that to him. But look, you have to, as a player, as a fan, as a coach, you have to understand that, like, there's a reason sometimes why these things happen that is not bad luck and is not, like, someone having it out for you. Sometimes the way things can be viewed can be interpreted in a way that is contrary to how you view them happening. Everyone always – look, we'll get tweets about this for sure. Everyone always says that this is because it's an Arsenal thing and you're a Tottenham fan. No, it's not. I say the same things literally. Go back and listen to the podcast we talk about. I do the same things for Tottenham. Sometimes the way things are suck, but you have to eat the suck sandwich because there are ways that can be viewed differently. Uh-huh. And this is just the reality of soccer. And Arsenal fans, unfortunately, you got a bit of a suck sandwich on the new year.
This is also like some big number as far as matches managed for Arsene Wenger.
Mm-hmm. Officially broke the
800 and something.
I mean, it's a ridiculous number of games he's been in charge. Yeah. Like, full credit to him for managing it.
Yeah.
Maybe a little crazy that he's still doing it, but whatever. That's an opinion for other people to decide upon.
Yeah.
So Arsenal find themselves in fifth. From a point standpoint, I did measure this out. They are on 21 matches played. That's 38 points. Spurs on 37 points on 20 matches played. So they have two games in hand on a couple of the teams that are in that top six flight. Let's move on to Liverpool, who are the team currently sitting in that last Champions League spot in fourth. 44 points, 22 matches played. Liverpool had a decent break.
Yeah, so obviously we mentioned the draw with Arsenal, 3-3. Mm-hmm. But then they followed it up with a bunch of wins. And really more so, they've already had their big signing of the January window.
Have they?
I mean, I would assume they're not going to top spending 70-some-odd million on a center back, right? They're not going to do something more than that, right?
They're not going to do anything more than that. What I am going to say is, have they really made their big signing of the window? I'm not – look, Virgil van Dijk seems like a good player. £76 million is a enormous amount of expectations.
Yeah. I was talking about
this. Is Virgil van Dijk really £76 million worth of expectations?
Is any central defender –
no is the answer to that question unequivocally. But
I mean, if you went and grabbed someone off of like the Barcelona backline,
they're old, so I wouldn't.
Right. Okay. So maybe not. Yeah. A bad example.
We'll use who's the Frenchman that plays for Real Madrid on their backline?
Frenchman plays on.
Varane, Rafael Varane. Yeah.
Okay. How much would you expect to pay for him?
He's a young back, maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 50.
Yeah, I would think 50.
Mm-hmm.
Less. So that's less. That is a smaller number.
£26 million less.
Who is the best defender for Tottenham?
You'd probably make an argument for Toby Alderweireld.
How much do you guys spend on him?
I think we got him for somewhere in the neighborhood of like 17 to 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say is the best defender for Chelsea?
Of the backline unit, I'd probably go with probably Cahill. Maybe Azpilicueta. Yeah.
Hey, either of those? Mm-hmm. They were both around 9 million.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys were brought in around about 9 million.
This goes to a point that Jose or others have made about the points that Jose was making.
Right. How City has spent 50 million for
Kyle Walker. United have spent like 30 million in that realm for defenders as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the issue here is it's a scouting issue. Others have said this as well, but this is a scouting thing, right? Like, if you want to have a good team and you want to construct it for not a lot of money, you're going to have to take a risk and actually go out and spend a lesser amount, probably more than what you would want to, on someone who's unproven. But Toby Alderweireld came from Southampton. And before that, he was a failed experiment at a bigger club in Atletico Madrid. It's those type of players, someone saw that potential in them. They didn't necessarily pan out the way they'd wanted to. But you find a gem that's kind of been buried somewhere, and you can rough it up in the right way and shine it up, and And that's how you get your defenders. You're talking about, you know, your
Pascal's bought a $9 million from Marseille. Gary Cahill came from Bolton.
I mean, everyone thought Cahill was a good player, but $9 million, you're kind of like, okay, you know, big relegated side, like, why not? It's gone all right for him. He's now wearing the captain's armband.
Yep.
So those are the things you have to do. And sometimes spending a bucket load of money for a player that doesn't add a whole lot of goals, that's the problem I have. Like, overall, for me, if you're going to break the bank on a goal scorer. Because if you know you're getting proven goals, that's something you can never replace. Like, that's the one thing in the game that everyone struggles to do. If you're going to pay £76 million for a player, that dude better be bringing you 20-plus goals a season. I don't think Virgil van Dijk is going to be someone who's going to bring you 20 goals or save you 20 goals in a season. Man.
But hey, you got your guy, Liverpool. So
way to go.
That's awesome.
For their sake, I hope it works out. For my sake, I hope it doesn't.
Your center backs won your match
today. Yeah, Clavin. First Estonian player.
Lovren from Clavlin. It was the two of them linking up.
That's an incredible thing to think about.
Two guys, about one of you guys is going to lose your job here in about a week.
Most likely. Clavin, ironically, the first Estonian player ever to score a goal in the Premier League. That is the 92nd country to score a goal in the modern Premier League area, which is kind of a ridiculous thing to think about. 92 different countries. Just
kind of like what countries aren't on that list. Like, is there any notable countries not on
There's
that
gotta
list?
Be. There's gotta be.
Like Canada? Is Canada on that list?
Junior Hoilett
played it. But has he played at Blackburn. Did he score?
I know he definitely did. Spurs tried to sign him. I'm almost positive.
So he probably did if they were gonna sign him.
Yeah, Junior Hoilett. That's one that would
stick
out in mind. Owen Hargreaves. Wait, no, he played for England, didn't he? But he's actually from Canada. But I'm sure he scored a goal.
Begovic is kind of Canadian. I don't think he's ever scored a goal.
No,
being a keeper.
Probably.
But yeah, this guy. I want to know what the most notable country to have not authored a Premier League goal scorer.
Oh man,
that'd be a big question.
That is a good question.
I mean, not like the obvious ones, like India. Got it. They're probably not on that list.
Yeah. You never know. Yeah, there could be one out there. What else happened with Liverpool? Other things?
They won matches.
Yeah, they did win matches.
That is good. Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for
mm-hmm.
When you go out there, is to actually win your matches.
They did. 5-0 win over Swansea.
Good Swans.
Love.
Swans firing their manager.
All around there. The one thing you can say about Liverpool right now is they're finding goals all over their team, and they are an absolute joy to watch. Mo Salah, anytime he gets the ball right now, just move to the edge of your seat. Just have to enjoy what he's doing
right
now.
Turn the volume all the way up.
Yeah. As a Liverpool teammate of his, he would drive me bonkers because he's taking every opportunity under the sun.
Yeah, he's going to go for it.
Yeah, good for him.
Go.
They ended it with a 1-1 win over Burnley today, New Year's Day. Come from behind. Well, no. Had the lead, gave away the lead, then took back the lead at the death.
Yeah, one that went 2-1. Yeah, as we mentioned, the center back pairing getting the winner. Not pairing much longer.
No.
Someone's getting sent to the bench.
Yes.
Once the big money signing is brought in. Let's move to Chelsea. Hey! They started the Christmas period off by drawing 0-0 with Everton.
Mm-hmm.
That was painful to watch. then they beat Southampton 2-0. That was easier to watch.
Sure.
And then they played Stoke over the weekend, beat them 5-0. I'm pretty sure Stoke have already stopped caring.
Because
they looked like a team that was on the beach.
Earliest team ever on the beach, potentially.
Either that or they were observing the Bundesliga winter break.
Yeah.
I mean, it was zero effort from those guys.
Look, Mark Hughes wouldn't let us go on vacation yet. We're just going to go ahead and be on vacation in our minds.
If Morata and Moses actually had any ability to finish goals, it would have been like 10-0.
Yeah, it could have been much more of a bloodbath than it was. Mark Hughes, dead man walking. By the time this podcast comes out, I'm assuming he's going to be
fired. Today after the final whistle blew in the match that they also did not win, the Stoke fans were chanting he was out.
Well, there were signs.
Yeah.
It looked like they were printed out on a good 8.5 by 11.
It would have been great if they were printed out like the old printers with like the little like
– Oh, like the little tearaway dot matrix printers.
I mean, you could get like a whole banner going with that.
You really could. Think about that in, back in the day when you used to print out banners of those.
Oh, yeah.
Are you too young for that?
No.
Okay. Glad to see
you. I love those printers.
Been in that space.
When you needed to print something from Netscape Navigator?
Still a thing, I would presume.
I would hope so.
Chelsea in third on 21 matches played.
They still play Arsenal on Wednesday. That's,
yeah, I was going to say, that's the big one looming.
A big one.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about that one?
It feels like a trap. We just had a big win. Arsenal just had a letdown of a draw. It's at the Emirates.
I'm just going to go ahead and root for you guys in that one. I'm going to
– We appreciate that.
I'm going to enjoy that one potentially. The only side in the top six we've not played, obviously United, we've talked about heavily already on 22 matches played, 47 points. The last side is Manchester City, obviously. They had themselves a decent little break.
Except for that ending.
Well, look, it's not a loss if we're being real here.
No, it's not a loss. Well, no, it is a loss. A physical loss. They lost Kevin De Bruyne and Gabriel Jesus.
Okay, so there were losses in that respect. But a 0-0 draw yesterday, New Year's Eve, with Crystal Palace at Palace, snapping the 18-match winning streak that they were on, denying Pep the chance to break
and his own Jesus European leg.
Well, that's true. But the only opportunity for him to break the mark he sent with Bayern Munich. Himself on a European winning record. Gabriel Jesus, as you've mentioned, is out for 6 weeks. Torn ligaments, or damaged ligaments, I believe, is what's going on in his knee at this
point.
Bad
scene. He's not coming back anytime soon.
No. Kevin De Bruyne also carted off on a stretcher. Yeah. Have not yet announced how long he's going to be out. I don't think I didn't see that.
What did he
hurt? I don't know. The tackle from Jason Punchin, how he was not sent off is a little beyond me.
He kind of was sent off. He also left in a stretcher.
Yeah, he was. The type of injury that you hurt yourself while inflicting on others. Pep, rightfully angry, in my opinion, about...
No. What?
I agree with him here. Even Spurs took a much more physical approach against City. The last couple of games, you can look at Newcastle, had some really rough runs as well when they were facing them. City are really good, and this is ultimately what happens when you get across a team that are just this unbelievably dominant. People are going to look for an edge that might give them an opportunity to find a foothold. Physicality is usually the easiest one to take against a side that is absolutely shredding you on a skill front. It's a natural reaction, but Pep's not wrong.
All right, let's whip around real quickly the rest of the league and talk about some of the matches that may have mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester...
They were involved in a lot of entertaining games over this break, if nothing else.
If nothing else, Leicester still is entertaining. They're not a team that's going to win another title here anytime soon.
No, but...
But they're at least going to put on a show, not always in a win, but a
show.
Vardy
and Mahrez on the break, like, we got to see a lot of it on this. Yeah, both of them were fairly productive over the course of the holiday session. If you don't enjoy those two breaking forward, you are not a fan of soccer. Like, so, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah. So they get the draw against United. Mm-hmm. Then they actually lose to Watford and lose to Liverpool. And then spank Huddersfield.
Yeah.
So, not great.
It's about what you expect.
But it was still entertaining.
Yes, it was.
Really bothered by Mahrez's hair.
Please don't.
Why is this happening? Why is this becoming a trend again?
I don't know. It's just...
I mean, last year, like, we had a ton of people doing it. Like...
Messi
did it.
Did you see any of the outfits?
Half of the team you work for did it.
Did you see? Yeah, that's true. Did you see like some of the outfits that are making a comeback that were on like any of the New Year's Eve shows last night?
Like, I watched that.
People were
12
wearing
12 minutes of CNN, and they did a live hit where a lady was hanging out with a guy in a bong gas mask, and I thought, I think I'm done with CNN forever.
Yeah. Long story short is that everything from the early 2000s and late 90s is now popular again. So
basically, bleach hair, people are going to like start dressing like 1999 Justin Timberlake again.
The reason why I've been wearing a hat this whole show is I actually have braids on underneath this.
So I'm taking a half day tomorrow to get a wisdom tooth looked at. I think I might also stop by the Pagoda kiosk at the mall.
Yep.
And get my eyebrow pierced.
Oh, that would be so cool. I would be for it. I'd pay for it, actually.
I had a full disclosure. Had the cartilage on my ear pierced for a very brief period of time in high school.
It's unfortunate.
Up there.
I had my left ear. I had my left ear pierced.
Yeah, up here. Yeah, I can feel it still.
Still feel the little nub.
Yeah, still feel that little nub.
I can still get an earring through my left ear piercing. I have not worn it in a really long time, obviously. I don't know that ever since you and I have been doing the show.
I feel like I would've definitely would have remembered that.
It's definitely pierced.
Speaking of 90s things, as we are horribly sidetracked by just how awful we all dressed back then.
Yes.
Another team I think that had a definite up and down winter break would have to be Bournemouth. They start out getting punched in the face by Man City.
Yeah.
Then they have a very entertaining 3-3 draw with West Ham. They beat Everton, and then they drew with Brighton Hove Albion.
Yeah, dramatic draw at that. But Eddie Howe's side, like in that mix right now, I think they're currently in 14th, 21 points, you know, floating above 20 points is the cutoff currently on that. So, or 18 points. They're doing it, but Eddie Howe seems to be losing a little bit of the magic that he's been unfolding down there for the last few years. And I'm a bit worried about the Cherries.
Okay, so instead of looking at any more matches, because I don't think there's anything else significant as far as physical matches to go, hey, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the table.
Yeah.
So Swansea in 20th place. They also fired Paul Clement during this period.
Yeah, managerless at the moment.
Yeah, that's not great. You know, it sounds like the guy they're bringing in is probably a championship-level manager, because they know that's probably where they're headed.
Yeah, it's looking likely at this point.
West Brom right next to them there are actually also on 16 points. And then West Ham is technically in the drop zone at the moment.
Yeah. While they are in the drop zone, they do have two matches in hand at the moment, or at least when compared to some of the sides a little bit closer to them and in the table.
So they could climb
out. It could be. Palace in 19th. 17th place on 19 points, 21 matches played. They went on that long run. They were bottom of the table. I think a few months back we were kind of like, they're dead. They are no longer dead. Roy Hodgson is doing miracle work with them, but they do still have a lot of work ahead of them. I don't think they're necessarily out of the clear or out in the clear at this point.
The two teams right above them, though, I think it's worth mentioning the bad year. We already mentioned Stoke. Having a bad year, possibly already on the beach. And then right there with them, Southampton.
Yeah.
The magic is gone at Southampton.
I think what it is we've reached a point where while their academy has been top-notch or producing players, after being routinely rated mainly by Liverpool over the last few years. And Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. look, we can ignore that side of it.
I mean, you took their manager.
Their manager, Wanyama, Alderweireld, which people have been key for us, nothing major. There comes a point where after you've had lots of really good players picked away from you, you're probably going to see an after effect of that, and your academy can't keep you alive that long.
You can't replenish that many times.
Yeah, so I'm a bit worried about them as well at this point in time. Bournemouth just ahead of them, and literally just ahead of them, 21 points as opposed to 20 and 14th, and Newcastle in 13th on 22 points on 22 matches played. That's your bottom eight are literally all sides that have been in the Premier League at least one season.
Yeah, and then interestingly enough, 13th through 11 are your three promoted sides.
Yeah.
all just bunched right there in the middle.
Look, one of them is probably going to shift into this free fall at some point or another. Yeah. And a couple of these sides
do you have one that you're tapping for
spiral? I think Brighton's probably the one that's most keen for at the moment. They just don't seem to have it entirely together in a way that some of the other ones do. Huddersfield, I really like Wagner. Maybe that's the American in me that's speaking out a little bit, but I think he's got a little something extra that's able to keep them up. And then Newcastle, you know, obviously they're that 13th side. They've yo-yoed enough that I feel like they're established. I think they'll eventually be saved once they get this Mike Ashley sale out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think a new man or new owner will probably pump them full of a little bit of money, if nothing else, to save his good graces with the fans.
Sure.
And it'll probably be enough to make a difference in January.
At least, if nothing else, a little PR move in the beginning to pump some money.
I know they're
in there.
All praying this happens in January, where that can happen at that point.
That seems a little quick. Looking at that bottom half of the top side of the table,
mm-hmm.
Watford 10th, Everton right above them in 9th. So Everton, a team that was... I mean, at many points in this season, in the drop zone,
yeah.
They are now on the right half of the table. So Big Sam, as much as we may have maligned that hire, so far getting at least, quote unquote, the job done.
He's doing what he was brought there to do. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. They're right about where he was going to bring them.
Yes, sir.
Leicester City in 8th place. So decent for them. And then how about Burnley? Just right there behind you guys.
I do feel, and I wrote this down, are we starting to see Burnley slip? They haven't won in their last 5 matches, although they did manage 3 draws in there, including a festive one away to United. But maybe this is a little bit of the veneer wearing off of the side that have kind of flown under the radar, but are also like the surprise side of the season so far.
Yeah, no, sure.
We'll see.
All right, so that was the league. That was stuff like there mm-hmm. out there in England. Let's hop across the pond. Let's go stateside.
Okay.
Domestic news?
Anywhere you want to start?
Should
we start with what the hell is happening with the NASL thing?
Sure.
I mean, we can just start there by saying...
Do we even know?
I don't think anyone knows.
I listened to an interview with their commissioner, and I got no further into knowing what was going on.
We know that their appeal was heard...
Yeah.
Before Christmas, we've heard nothing outside of an official statement that said nothing from the NASL.
You know, I feel like we were just literally weeks ago, the whole thing was U.S. soccer is totally going to settle with them because they just don't want to deal with this anymore. And it's just going to be more of a hassle, you know, to fight this. The old Michael Scott Paper Company move there.
Yeah.
Of where they weren't big enough to actually... be a real threat,
but they're influential enough
to be a problem.
To be a problem, yeah, that's a great reference. The Michael Scott Paper Company.
I stole from someone on Twitter.
It was great. Regardless, I'd love some clarity on the situation. Our good buddy Nipun Chopra tweeted out: "This is the second Christmas, second New Year in a row where literally everyone that works in that league has no clue what their future holds." And it's a really unfortunate time of the year to be in that type of situation.
How does that work for the teams that are literally coming into the league this season? Right? This upcoming season, we're supposed to have the Orange County...
Cal FC.
Cal FC.
Mm-hmm.
Them. And then also San Diego
18,
a whale's vagina or whatever it is. Yeah. Some kind of anchor.
There's some sort of reference. Yeah. And then not only that, but imagine being a team that is solvent. Like you look at a team like the Cosmos or Miami FC, whether or not they
are
profitable, Indy 11, whether or not they're profitable or not, they know that they could have a team next year if the league existed. How do you
North Carolina? Oh wait, no, they made the right choice and left.
How do you, if you're any of these teams, how do you sign players?
But going back to my first thought there, if you work for San Diego 19-0 something, you literally just got that job. you literally just in the last 6 months got hired. And you don't actually know if the team you just got hired by will ever actually kick a ball. Like, you literally don't know if this pro side that's funded by Eden Hazard and Demba Ba and Yohan Kabai is actually ever even going to walk on a pitch and play a match.
I mean, it's as someone who felt like that left a stable job to go and take a job in professional soccer, I can tell you that it was a very nerve-wracking decision, despite my love of the game and my confidence in the people that I was going to work for.
But you actually knew that that team was going to take the pitch.
I felt pretty confident about that, yes.
Pretty much a guarantee at that point. I mean, you came in, what, January?
Yeah.
Before the first season.
Uh-huh.
So you were, like, literally two and a half months away from the season.
Felt pretty good that we were going to play
pretty,
some soccer.
Pretty confident that, mm-hmm. that a season was happening.
Yes.
There was a roster, there were teams, a coach.
All those things existed.
Like, I don't think any of that, as far as I'm concerned, exists for those teams.
Yeah,
it's a real concern.
And I, you know, I'm not necessarily casting blame on anyone, but...
That's just a bad place to be.
No, this is not good for U.S. soccer,
and
for the situation to be unfolding the way that it is.
And as Napoon says, this is the
second year in a row.
Christmas.
Yeah.
That NASL is essentially unclear of if they are going to continue to exist and in what capacity that'll be.
Sports.
Yay.
Yay. What other domestic news would you like to touch on?
Something happened in Nashville. I feel like something happened in Nashville.
Yeah, they might have been announced as a team in some league.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Just had that on there.
Okay.
Nashville.
No, we can cross it off. I think we covered it. Yeah.
So Nashville's going to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Other news. Speaking of NASL.
Yeah.
The most prolific manager of the current NASL
mm-hmm.
is now the new manager of the Portland Timbers.
Yeah. Savarese.
Yeah. Gio is... It's funny. So if you read the Cosmos press release... They actually literally don't mention where he was going. They refuse to mention MLS. Not shocking.
Just kind of lull-worthy almost. Yeah.
They're like, it was like to pursue other endeavors or something like that. Like they never mentioned that he was going to take another job
mm-hmm.
or that where that job was. I mean, if you just read that press release, you're like...
Oh, he left.
Is this guy starting a PR firm, or is he going to start an academy?
He's going to coach somewhere.
Is he a gastropub? He's going to run his own gastropub somewhere.
It's just kind of in a world. They're like, it's kind of like how Wimbledon fans refuse to acknowledge MK Don's existence, except for it's a team refusing to acknowledge an entire league's existence.
Right.
The blinders.
Somewhat vice versa, though.
Yeah.
To be fair.
A metric ton of trades have happened in Major League Soccer over the last couple of weeks.
Here's an interesting player move for you. Kakuta Mane going to Pachuca.
Yeah.
So not only is Kakuta Mane leaving MLS, this is a U.S. national team player,
mm-hmm.
Goes to Mexico, and not just goes to Mexico. Pachuca is actually one of the better clubs. They just won the Champions League.
It's a hot spot to go for young Americans at the moment.
So he joins Omar Gonzalez there. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely an interesting move. Kyle Larin might be going to Europe. Either
this has been mooted for a while.
Yeah, so either Mönchengladbach or Beşiktaş. He's going to be one of the come to Beşiktaş guys.
Don't do that. That's the wrong career trajectory. That's usually the downward trajectory.
I mean, Istanbul is like a... I mean, there's not...
It's a big city.
Yeah?
I mean...
Pretty peaceful, too.
Relatively.
Not a whole lot of things going on that are too hairy in Turkey now.
No, nothing at all. Nothing about, like, a perhaps a power-hungry leader.
No.
Mm.
I mean, there's not, like, an NBA player that's, like, literally has to never return to his home country ever again.
What about maybe that leader... potentially staging a coup to, I don't know. These
seems
are the things, yeah.
I mean, I think Kyle Aaron will love it.
Go there to play soccer.
Come to Beşiktaş.
Help out Canadian soccer. Maybe Paul Manafort could help.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the first call I make.
That's who I would, yeah. You probably know some people.
Were there any of the trades? You said a bunch of trades. Were there any ones that you wanted to mention?
It was just a lot of movement. It was an abnormal amount of movement, at least is what we're used to from an MLS perspective. Think, too, that we also had the expansion draft.
Yeah.
Columbus Crew becoming the only team once again to have a player selected in every single expansion draft. It's just mind-boggling. It's injury to insult at this point.
They didn't even keep the guy.
No.
They immediately traded him to Montreal.
Just classic. It was a really, really active offseason. We've seen a bunch of DPs join the league too. Medina going to New York City FC, which is a relatively large signing. It's the type of signings you want MLS to be making. I think that's the thing about DPs that really makes me happy right now is that they're like younger, ambitious players.
Young South Americans.
I don't have a problem with that. Like, that's okay with me from a Major League Soccer perspective.
But it's called the Atlanta playbook.
Yes.
That everyone is currently going for this offseason.
Oh, wait, we knew this. Probably a page that was founded by the Crew. They've been routinely raiding South America, both the Crew and the Portland Timbers, for that matter.
How about this one? Not trade-related. So the She Believes Cup is coming back.
Yeah, that's right.
I know you missed it. It's coming back.
Yeah.
Gonna be in Columbus this time.
I did see that.
Doubleheader.
It's a little weird.
So if you buy tickets, you get into both matches? I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, it's usually how it works, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one. Obviously a lot going on in Columbus, a lot circulating. It's gonna be an interesting year for the Crew, obviously, just from a standpoint of fan engagement, considering this could potentially be the last season of the Columbus Crew, and the way it's going down, it could happen in a very tree falling in the woods kind of way, where just there won't be any fans around to watch it.
It's going to be interesting.
It could be an extremely depressingly sad ending to an amazing franchise. Hopefully something awesome prevails and that doesn't happen. But
I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
For sure. If there's one other thing that's happening domestically right now, unless you had any other ones.
I got nothing. What do you got for me?
If there's one thing you we're all going to be talking more
Eric
about,
Eric went all to go into Dubai.
This is ultimately it touches on that, but the U.S. soccer presidential elections is about to engulf your Twitter stream for the next 2 months.
Right, because that votes in February.
It is in February.
Okay, so
Eric Winalda has been all over the place. He's been in Dubai, among other places.
Wasn't just like hanging out there, like. Infantino was there, like
he was schmoozing.
He
for
was
sure.
Schmoozing.
But Winalda, of all the things he said, and Winalda, as we know, likes to say things.
No.
The one that I love the most is he asked if anyone has looked into whether or not FIFA are mandating Canada have their own league if they host the 2026 World Cup, much like the U.S. was made to do back when they hosted in 1994.
Isn't this sort of a moot point, though? Because they are technically attempting to start that league.
That's kind of the point I'm trying to make, though, is that the man who everyone is supposedly hanging their hat on is the savior of U.S. soccer. Field of Burn, indeed. I love this, though. I can't remember where I saw this, whether it was on Twitter or on Reddit or wherever it might have been. Populist man with little experience versus donor-friendly woman. In the elections, that woman being Kathy Carter, the woman who's actively being campaigned for by Don Garber of Major League Soccer and Sunil Gulati, the current U.S. Soccer president.
Nothing shady there.
It just seems ridiculously paralleled to reality. Just populist with little experience versus donor-friendly woman. Yeah.
I think in this case, though, I hope for the same outcome.
I don't know.
I mean, given the choice?
I don't know.
If you're given that lady, who I honestly don't really know much about her, but just know who she's tied with.
Who's Ross Perot in this? I know he wasn't involved in the last
Ronaldo's
election.
Like also Ross Perot. He is.
Does he have charts?
He's Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and Ross Perot all in one candidate.
Oh, man. There's got to be someone different than that. All that said, it's going to literally engulf everything that you're going to be thinking about in American soccer realm over the next 2 months. So enjoy it. It's going to be horrible.
Do you have a pony you're backing?
Not at the moment. Just in it for the lulz, I would guess.
I'm digging Kyle Martinez.
I love Kyle Martino. He's a former crew player.
Absolutely.
He has spectacular hair. It's how I pick my presidents most of the time anyway. So
I generally, actually, that's generally a deterrent for me because I just...
You hate him.
Yeah.
You're feel envious.
Like your hair is so good that it's like literally mocking my existence as a human.
Maybe we should use this as an opportunity to transition away from the reality of...
My hair.
Of your hair and U.S. soccer and into some engagement we try to embrace with our fans. And our
the
listeners.
Old, you get anything cool for Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. We had two questions of the week this week. One was, what did you get soccer related for Christmas? I got a lot of responses there. And we also had the question of, do you have any 2018 soccer resolutions, your New Year resolutions that were soccer related? So we did get a fair number of people who replied to us looking to contribute here. Let's dig into those. Let's start with the gifts, because gifts are fun.
Oh, okay.
Did you get anything fun soccer related?
I got FIFA 18, but Rimmer, I already knew that about that because I saw it when I was packing up the card.
That's
Thanksgiving.
Right.
Awesome game. Really enjoying it.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think. Did I get anything else? I don't think I did.
No scarves or anything like that this year?
No. No scarves. I'm trying to even think what I even got for Christmas. Is that bad? I got an FC Cincinnati shirt.
Yeah?
Like literally the first like actual like club gear I've ever owned.
Thanks, man. You're helping to pay for my check.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Well, my parents are at least. They bought it for me.
Thank you, Lances. That's nice.
Yeah, I love it. Was that the quarter zip? You know me. I love a good quarter zip.
Quarter zips are great.
Wearing one right now.
Wearing one right now. That's right. I did not get any soccer-related Christmas gifts. My family, I think, finds it hard to buy soccer stuff for me. One, because I get a lot of it through my job anyway. And then two, because if I wanted, I probably would have bought it for myself already. So I did get some money for my parents. Those will probably go towards some new like futsal / indoor court shoes. So
sweet.
Yeah. Other people had actual soccer gifts they received, much like you. Michael Lisi offered up that he got an AC Milan jacket.
Nice.
Adam Maloney, he also, your former stand-in, he got an FCC crew neck sweatshirt. Pretty nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Gage Magoto, our frequent, ne'er always contributor, he offered up, he got a Columbus Crew winter hat and a shadow box for my team-signed Bayern Leverkusen jersey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
the whole team? Which year?
Like, I don't know.
Chicharito's autograph on it?
He didn't offer that up. He just offered that.
Sounds amazing.
Lady Stank offered up nothing tangible, but I got to share a couple meals with some of our crew supporter family.
Good stuff.
Experiential gifts, you know, the ones you'll remember forever until your memory goes. Matt Moore said a Sounders shirt, a Werder Bremen shirt, and a Fisher FC shirt and a beanie.
Like Fisher's Indiana?
F-I-S-H-E-R-F-C. Matt's from...
he's from Dayton.
Yeah, he's from Dayton.
No, I know him. Yeah, he's from Dayton.
I don't know. Fisher, Indiana, maybe? Isn't it Fisher's? Indiana?
That's true, it is.
I used to live there, or not in
probably
Fishers, but right next to it. Yeah.
You lived in what?
I lived in Noblesville. Yeah.
Oh, just the in third of that group.
Yeah, that's right. our good buddy Chad Hollingsworth, he got a Spurs third kit jersey.
That's a good one.
The kind of navy / purpley one.
Okay,
Teager wrote in, this is IPA fangirl. She wrote FCC t-shirts, tanks, and other gear. We did see a lot of FCC stuff move out of the store this winter.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So lots of good soccer gifts.
Now, hold on. You kind of did. It wasn't a Christmas gift, but you put it up on Twitter. You do have a new shirt in your arsenal that's pretty awesome and soccer related. One that I believe you use for your indoor team.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't necessarily a Christmas gift, but we did get it around Christmas.
It was around Christmas,
time. Yeah.
And it's definitely I think, worth mentioning.
Yeah.
How awesome.
So our I play on a work indoor team, an FC Cincinnati mm-hmm. front office indoor team. It's a co-ed team. Lots of the employees play on it. Not
few,
everyone.
Few former players.
For a few, yeah.
At Dan least Williams.
One. Dan Williams. Omar Cummings has made out a few times for us as well. The name of our team is Kerala Blasters FC. If that's not anything that means anything to you, that's the actual name of a team in the Indian Super League.
Uh-huh.
That one of our former or one of our players used to play for, Josu, our Spanish left back / left winger.
Mm-hmm.
The Kerala Blasters fans are what you might call enthusiastic.
Zealots,
yeah. And they have literally, for the last year that Josu's been in my life, peppered the FC Cincinnati social media accounts publicly and privately with messages asking for Josu to come back. And so we are the Kerala Blasters, and we have Kerala Blasters t-shirts.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, when you tweeted those out, I was like, oh.
Yeah, how great is
that? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. So, yeah, I guess I did get a kind of cool gift. Should we move over to resolutions?
Sure.
Do you have any resolutions
for
this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think you and I probably have a difficult time doing this one because mm-hmm. our actual day jobs are soccer-related.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, like, I have a lot of, like, goals as an employee of a soccer company
mm-hmm.
for 2018, but they're not, like, resolutions. They're like, hey, these are like, what we're hoping you do as an employee of
yeah,
this company.
Like, these are my actual, like the actual, how I'm being rated in
yeah,
my job.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I have a lot
tough.
Of those.
The one thing that I always say every year to myself, and I kind of stood on this podium a bit earlier, was, like, I always try to remember that, like, I'm a fan and that, like, my fan bias injects into my opinion. And I try to leave that to the side as much as possible. So that's, like, my every year, like, when you're talking about soccer, try not to be the fan all the time. If I have one resolution, that's probably it.
I got one for you.
Okay.
And this is something I've kind of wanted to do, something that on the whole I've probably done, but that's not all in one year.
Mm-hmm.
This upcoming domestic calendar, I want to hit a match in every league.
Ooh.
I'll go to a Cincinnati Dutch Lions match.
Okay.
And go to some PDL taken care of.
Sure.
I'll go to I'm not sure what I'm going to do with NPSL.
It's going to be tricky.
That's going to be a drive.
You're going to be driving. That's for sure.
I may have to go to – maybe if I can hit some kind of doubleheader with Indy 11's NPSL squad.
You can go to Terre Haute for FC Indiana. You don't want to go to Terre Haute. You don't want to do it.
I don't think I'm going to do that at all.
Sorry if you live in Terre Haute.
Maybe if I'm in visiting my parents, I'll go to a Milwaukee Torrent match.
There you go.
I definitely want to go back to an Indy 11 match. We went a couple years ago. We definitely enjoyed it. Of course,
yeah, it's a great time.
It was easier to enjoy it when, like, you had Peter Wilt, like, putting you in nice seats and showing you around beforehand. Like, that's
coming hanging out with you a little
yeah,
bit.
Like, that's
it's not a bad deal.
I don't think I'm going to get that same experience.
Mm-mm.
And then I'll probably go to a Crew game at some point.
Sure.
And then obviously, and then I think more so, I only made it to one FC Cincinnati match last year.
Show.
Gotta
maybe,
up that. Gotta up the game.
One
there.
Of those.
Gotta up the game there.
Yeah. Okay. You know a guy.
Hopefully, trying to get to 3 or 4.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Attainable.
That's the job.
Seems attainable. Well, let's go through some of the other contributions that we had on the front of resolutions for 2018. Let's go to. Matt Morris, he offered up Miner to try to work on being a better player and to get Crew season tickets. So
I'm going to say that second one's going to be pretty easy to come by.
Yeah. Jordan Winters, he offered up just save the Crew. Just hashtag save the Crew.
Well.
Noble indeed. Teagers, IPA Fangirl, we saw a lot of people contributed to both of these. She said, make it to as many home and away matches for FC Cincinnati as we can. Highly enjoyable on that front. Chad Hollingsworth, again, he offered up resolving to bring back Scratching the Pitch, his great blog. I think we would both enjoy seeing a little bit
that
more
would be
Chad
good
out
for
there.
Everybody.
Gage McGody, who offered up Save the Crew as well. We saw a few of these. Lady Stank did the same. Adam Maloney, your stand-in,
mm-hmm.
he said, I'll talk to you about number 2. I'm hoping he's not talking about poop. But he also has children, so I'm presuming that might have something to do with that.
I mean, that's
as, well.
As parents, that's what you end up doing. Yeah. You end up talking about poop.
And then this was Michael Lisi. He offered up that he wants to write more as well for FDLXV. Fossa de Leone XV. I'm not sure what that is, but sweet. Hopefully you get to write more for that.
Do
so
it.
I think it's a Milan-based website. But regardless.
It's 2018. If you want to do any kind of media thing and try your hand at writing and try your hand at making videos and try your hand at taking photos, like, we live in a digital age where, like, the barrier of entry is low. Like, you can just go do it.
You can get in.
And just, yeah.
You and I both.
That's how we
literally
got
have our jobs by doing that.
Just do it.
Yeah. So grab it by the horns, kids. That brings us to winners and wankers, I think, to close out our first show of 2018. Considering the last, like, five episodes, we've been under an hour. It's so fitting that the first show this year is going to be, like, an hour and 20 minutes. Sorry, everyone.
It actually would have been more fitting if, as, like, a New Year's resolution,
we had a guest under an hour.
We booked a guest, and then that was the only guest for all of
2018. That seems actually perfectly fitting. How about a winner for you?
Goem, hey, you mentioned it a second ago. I guess I don't know if this one falls into yours, but got to give a big congratulations to Paul Nicholson, taking the head coaching job at the Cincinnati Dutch Lions, a PDL team I was just mentioning how I need to go check them out. So cool for him.
Yeah, Paul, former FC Cincinnati player, good dude, lots of experience, English native.
Good to see him just hanging around.
Yeah.
Sticking around, staying in the soccer scene here in Cincinnati. I know a lot of people are super excited about that.
Definitely am as well. I'm giving my winner to someone who also signed a deal themselves. I'm giving it to Freddie Adu, signing on with Swedish third division size Oskarshamn's AJK or AIK. Swedish third division side. I want to knock him. Like, my initial reaction was like, Freddie Adu. But this dude has figured out a way to travel the world on soccer's dime. Like, I'm not going to hate that. He's like 27 years old and he's just been everywhere. Like, I haven't been able to lean on soccer that much. So good for him.
And if you're about ready to go, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if fill in the blank lower league team signed him? He already didn't make it with the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yeah. That was back during the Hoover era for him. Pushing the vacuums on Instagram.
Yeah.
Great days.
He did not play much at all.
No, he didn't. Probably one of the least happy people I've ever seen in an interview ever. Wanker time. How about your wanker?
Probably have to be, I don't know how much you saw of this on Twitter. The Eastern New York State Soccer Association Twitter account had themselves a week.
Yeah, they did.
So they came out and were like, hey, we're going to endorse Kathy What's-Her-Face.
Mm-hmm. Carter.
That's it. That's the one. Chris Carter's sister.
Yes.
So Kathy Carter. we're endorsing her. And we've seen how she's going to do such and such. Also, like, kept referring to her, like, in just kind of like pseudo misogynistic terms of like how they were referring to him as like they, I mean, they almost went up to the line and be like, yeah, we're going for the broad. Like, that was kind of like their tone in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just a very, just kind of New Yorker, tone about women.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, just on the sheer fact that like, that's who they picked. They got a lot
trashed.
Of blowback.
Yeah.
A lot of blowback. So what did they do? They did the responsible thing.
They deleted their tweet.
They blocked everybody who tweeted at them.
Yeah.
Including, like, journalists, just actual soccer fans that, like, want to see the topics be properly engaged with those that are actually going to be voting.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Deleted their account, though, eventually. Like, so they blocked a million people.
And
then deleted
their account.
And then did the classic, hey, our account's back up. Hey, guys, we were hacked.
If you'd like,
hey guys, we were hacked.
If you'd like to know someone else who has done this in this presidential election cycle, that's also Eric Winalda.
Did he do the, hey guys, I was hacked?
Yes. The very first question he responded to in this entire debate was a question posed by Alexi Lawless on Twitter, which was, what do you think about kneeling during the anthems? And
his initial
reaction was, no way. If you're playing for the national team, you should be standing up. 100%. And then he got a little bit of blowback from that. And then he went, you know, whoa, players, my actual position is that players, you know, should be able to do what they want to do, but should be respectful. And then he went with the old, and my account was hacked. And I didn't realize.
And oh, by the way, my account has been hacked.
Yeah. Pretty much any time someone says my account has been hacked, not actually been hacked.
Here's the tweet they fired up. The ENYSSA soccer account was hacked, but has been restored. We will only tweet about ENYSSA competitions, clubs, and leagues. Follow, and then it just mentioned all the idiots that run that organization, for more info on the clubs and games. And then it just for some reason mentioned then a bunch of other like USA adult soccer and stuff like that.
Oh god, it's bad.
That's what they went with.
Anytime you think to yourself, I could get out of this by just saying that we were hacked, don't do it.
I'm starting to believe no one's actually ever been hacked.
No one ever has, ever, in the history of the world.
Because here's what happens, guys. If you actually were hacked, I know a friend, someone that we both know, a former Saints player, had his Twitter account actually hacked.
Okay.
And when your Twitter account is actually hacked, here's what it looks like. It keeps your little, like, your handle, and it keeps your name, and then the rest of it is just Russian porn.
Yeah.
That is what happens when your account gets hacked. Not that you take extreme views on topics that fit within the realm that you exist in.
Nope. That's definitely not your own personal
opinion. That's not how that works.
Yeah. Not a good idea for someone who's literally responsible for just organizing youth matches. My wanker is a bit grander scale, but probably an equally humongous mess up, probably even bigger. Nike, who likely bungled Barcelona's chances of signing Coutinho after the athletic apparel titans accidentally posted pictures of the Liverpool attacker in the Blaugrana strip on New Year's Eve.
Oh. Whoop.
That didn't go very well.
No, I would imagine not.
Considering Liverpool have repeatedly said that they are not putting the player up for sale, that's probably a bad look.
Well, this was also the same Liverpool, though, that the guy that they didn't want to tamper with on Christmas took a picture in front of his Christmas tree of him in his new jersey. Like, oh, hey, you get a new kit for Christmas there?
Yeah.
Remember, this is, hey, you know, we were wrong about that tampering thing. We're just going to stop pursuing this.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not going to go after Virgil anymore.
No, that's not at all why they paid over the odds for him.
Hey, that's bad form on us. So we're just gonna back up.
These things don't happen. No. And that indeed brings us to the end of the first show of 2018. Thank you as always for listening in. If you have questions, comments, things you want to share, things that you got as gifts, share them with us. Get in touch. contact@wrongsideofthepond.com via email. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. We'll resolve to get guests on here or something.
Is this kind of that bleak time of the year where you go like, wow, a whole nother year
of this podcast to go?
This is like the crappiest part of like the year, really. There's that whole sense of like, hey, it's the beginning of the year. We better make something of this year.
Got 12 more months of this.
And then it's also like post-holiday and like, as like people that like work, you're like, it's gonna be a really long time till I'm gonna be able to like get like a 4-day weekend.
Yeah, going back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
Damn it. Well, if you're going back to work, hopefully we'll give you something to listen to this week.
Alrighty, folks.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.